Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the December 11th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman? Hales?
Your microphone not working? I'm here. Thank you. We have three items left over from yesterday's calendar, which we're going to hold until after today's items. So for those of you who are here, I'm sorry, but you'll have to be patient a little bit longer. But we have some city business that got shunted aside thanks to a long council calendar yesterday.
We might be able to do it
after this first one and before the second one. I think that's probably a good suggestion because we have perhaps a little gap between the two. So let's try that, see if it works so that Sam and his team and others will not have to be here all afternoon. So let's proceed with item 1291, please.
Accept the East Portland Action Plan Transition Plan Report.
Thanks, everyone. Let me cue this item up and then call up some folks that are here to present it. The purpose of this plan, of course, was to identify gaps in policies and services and improvements in East Portland and to look for opportunities to address those gaps and remedy longstanding disparities in this part of our city. After the plan was adopted, community members and the city agreed to continue working together to ensure implementation. Since 2009, the City Council has funded the East Portland Action Plan Advocacy Project, which has done a great job of convening community members and institutional and governmental stakeholders to advocate for the implementation of the plan. Throughout that time, the East Portland Action Plan Advocacy Project has continued to provide leadership and guidance to all of us and to public agencies and other entities throughout the community on how to address identified issues and allocate resources to improve the livability of these neighborhoods. Since 2009, the City Council has used one-time funding each year to support the East Portland Action Plan Advocacy Project, known as EPAP. I believe that funding short-term projects with one-time funding is a responsible and reasonable practice. If we're going to carry something on over a longer time frame, we should fund them with ongoing dollars and be honest that something is a continuing effort rather than carry out so-called serial one-time expenditures, which this council has been in the process of working our way out of over the last couple of years. Last year in the city budget process, we directed ONI to work with EPAP and the East Portland Neighborhood Office to develop a transition plan for EPAP that would determine how the advocacy project would move forward. So today we're going to have representatives from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the East Portland Action Plan to share their report with us. I think the presentation is going to start with our own staff team of Amalia Alaconda Morris from ONI and Paul Leisner as well, I think. And then we'll have some of the leadership of the EPAP, of the steering committee as well. So good afternoon, Amalia and Paul.
Good afternoon. Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Novick, thank you so much. I'm pleased to be here to introduce the report that was generated jointly by EPAP and ONI in response to the City Budget Office's budget note, Council's budget note about EPAP and its future. Just a few points very briefly before I turn it over. In terms of context and history, so the plan part of the East Portland Action Plan was developed by planning, and then the action part is what came with the effort now known as EPAP. And it happened to ensure that the plan didn't sit on a shelf and collect dust, but rather actually had an impact in the community. EPAP is an independent and autonomous effort that has lived in many places in the city. It's lived in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. It's lived in the mayor's special appropriations budget. And as of 2 years ago, approximately, it's housed in ONI, where we strongly support and advocate for the work of this model program, keyword there being model, but we don't own or direct it. Plan fulfillment, as many things in government, is a two-way street. There is a city role for how we implement, and then there is a community role as well. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Paul Leisner, who will kick us off to tell you about the results of this report.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Amalia. Mayor Hales and Commissioners, I'm Paul Leisner with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And let's see, how are we gonna, how do we advance it?
Nope. There you go.
Okay, just to give you a sense of what we're gonna talk with you about today, Amalia just gave you an introduction. I'm gonna do a review of the report that we're presenting to you, the process and the findings. Arlene Kimura, EPAP co-chair, is going to describe to you one of the questions you asked a lot is, how do we know when EPAP is done? And she's they've done a lot of work to prepare a description of that. Sam Breyer from is the superintendent of the Centennial School District. He's going to come and talk about the value of the relationship that EPAP has with the local school districts in East Portland. And Mark Lear from PBOT, who's also a member of the EPAP Technical Advisory Committee, is going to talk about the value of EPAP to city bureaus and the partnerships that they've developed. And then I'll come back and briefly go over the recommendations of the report with you. So just as a reminder, this is what you told us to do last year, and as the mayor said, it was to work with the East Portland Action Plan and East Portland Neighborhood Office to develop a transition plan for EPAP and how we move forward. Just some background, again, the EPAP report was adopted by City Council in 2009. It included 63 strategies and 269 action items in five categories: the built environment, the environment, economics, learning, and social. The time frames that were listed for the individual action items range from 0 to 2 years, 2 to 5 years, and 5+ years. So a wide range of different kinds of projects. The project has been funded annually, as the mayor said, and with one-time funding last year, EPAP received $300,000. About 40% of that went to pay for the advocate position, which is Laura Wintergreen, who's done a fabulous job supporting the group. 10% went to operations. That's funded a lot of the amazing stuff you've seen at their meetings, the translation, the food, the copying. It's just been amazing. And then the other 50% is actually going out in direct grants to help implement specific action items. So it's a very interesting model. The bulk of the action items were things that city bureaus were assigned as the lead responsibility. So there were 208 action items. Some of them are overlap. 26 items were targeted at the schools. 38 items went to other jurisdictions like the county or East Portland Community College. And then 42 items were directed toward community organizations, businesses, neighborhood associations, and others. And this is just a little more of a breakdown, which was in your report, that looks at some of the different bureaus, what individual players here got. So PBOC got 29, ONI has 31, the schools, again, Multnomah County has 15. So this just gives you a little more of a breakdown. So our process that we used this summer, the mayor's office very kindly got us the services of an Oregon fellow, Julia McKenna, who did a wonderful job. She's from Oregon State University, very professional, and reached out to many, many, many different bureau staff people to get information on what's their experience been like trying to implement the East Portland Action Plan. So the findings that we talk, that where you're going to use her findings, or I'm presenting them here, that are going to talk about what city bureaus can do and the opportunities there. We also had a lot of interaction and outreach with EPAP members and other community members to identify the value of the EPAP project. So some of the key values that the EPAP advocacy project brings is that it's the city's most focused and effective strategy for advancing the city's equity goals in East Portland. It's comprehensive, it's broad, it's inclusive, it's very constructive and positive. They're also playing a very important convening role. If those of you, I think all of you have been to their meetings, but to have 40 or to 60 people there and all sorts of different jurisdictions, community groups, ethnic groups, neighborhoods, everybody's there and everybody's participating. So they're the only place that's convening people the way to address the needs of East Portland. It's also the state-of-the-art and diverse community involvement. Different people have said, well, do we need outside consultants to come tell us how, or tell EPAP how they should do it? They are in the lead. They're showing everybody else how to do it. It's really in manifesting the kind of things we've always said needed to happen with community involvement. They're actually making it happen. Plus, it keeps attention focused on East Portland and the action plan. Plans keep being generated by city government, and oftentimes the latest plan is the one we focus on, and the past plans get lost. It's keeping the attention on that plan to make sure it gets implemented. Plus, plans get stale lots of times, 5 years down, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. The plan that was done in the past is not necessarily what the community still needs. Bureaus go out trying to implement an older plan and then run into trouble with the community. EPAPS has a major focus on making sure that those priorities of the community are identified every year and communicated to city bureaus. And it also leverages significant community resources and builds and supports significant engagement in East Portland. There are people involved in this process who've never been involved in any sort of city kind of project before. Plus, it's bringing in all the different jurisdictional partners as well. It's really a remarkable effort. And so all of that energy and all of those resources are also being leveraged to implement the plan. The city's not trying to do it by itself. And EPAP's work is distinct from but complements the work of the East Portland Neighborhood Office and the East Portland neighborhoods. EPAP is a very disciplined, focused project that is focused on the 269 action items. The East Portland Neighborhood Office gives a wide range of support in capacity building and organizational support that is different than what EPAP does. So they're not the same thing. They're complementary, but they're not the same. A lot of city agencies have done a lot of great work in trying to implement the EPAP action items. Some of the opportunities that were discovered by Julia and her outreach, one was that bureaus are pulled in many, many different directions, and they need some help to actually keep the focus on the action items that are assigned to them. In some cases, there was lack of bureau buy-in to some of the action items where the action items were developed during that early process, and sometimes bureaus are saying that they don't feel connected to that. Action items vary in specificity and complexity from building a sidewalk to bringing about broad socioeconomic cultural change, and so there are very different kinds of action items. Completion is something that many times was not really quite clearly defined. There'll be an action item, but it wasn't always clear how we know when it's complete. Sometimes it's building something, sometimes it's creating and sustaining a program. There are many different items where more understanding of what complete looks like would be helpful. And also a more nuanced description of where they are in the process. You know, it's either not started, it's in progress, or it's done. Well, there are a lot of different stages to that, and city staff wanted better guidance on that, as did decision makers. And some action items, even though they were 0 to 2 years, were not completed in the first 2 years because they weren't funded. So that's another issue. Staff turnover in city bureaus, some city staff were involved in the original plan. They really understood it. They got it. And then they've moved on. New staff are there who weren't part of it and don't necessarily have that same connection or awareness of the plan. The influence of the plan on bureau priorities and work is unclear. Sometimes bureaus will take whatever they're doing and then try to report it within the structure of the EPAP, but not necessarily meeting the spirit of the EPAP. So there's some opportunity for some improvement there. No city entity is charged with tracking and reporting on city bureau progress implementing the action items. The EPAP group does have a mechanism where people can self-report what progress they're making, but a lot of you were asking, well, where are we in the process? How many of these things are done? Where is it? As Amalia said, the advocacy group's doing a great job out in the community organizing themselves and talking to the city. I think it's a time for the city to take some responsibility to make sure that we're stepping up and doing our part in that partnership. So there's an... yes?
I think that a more nuanced description of A more nuanced description of in progress versus ongoing is needed. That's at least is definitely true. Did people provide, or do you have some suggestions as to how to be more nuanced and how to change the reporting?
Sure. There were some cases where, you know, a new program needs to be developed and that it needs to be implemented and then sustained and then evaluated. And so there are different steps like that along the process. Some projects actually needed preparatory data gathering or initial preliminary studies, or there needed to be other work done before the project could actually move to completion. So part of it is really understanding is what are those next logical steps that it would take to reach that final goal of completing that project. Without knowing that, it's sometimes difficult to move forward. Is that what you were asking?
And I think there's going to be some pieces in the recommendations part that are going to offer some thoughts about how the city might be able to assess and track and figure those pieces out.
It seems like it's such a broad category that it's not really worth much. I mean, it could be divided up into, you know, 80, you know, mostly actually complete and not started due to funding and various other things. But in progress doesn't really tell you anything.
Right, exactly.
Right, and that was, I think, the complaint that some of your staff members and some of you shared with us as well. And the same issue goes for other jurisdictions as well. It would be helpful for them to also be able to identify, do some internal tracking themselves. So those were the main findings. And now I'd like to invite up Arlene and Sam and Mark. And Arlene is going to start off and talk to you about what success would look like, because many of you asked, when will it be done?
Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Arlene, I can't see you. Someone put the Spirit of Portland Award into the East Portland
How'd that get there?
Plan between you and me, and I wonder who did that and why.
It was me. It was me.
Okay.
I'm here to talk about measurable outcomes. We had been asked to find some way of measuring when we would be mostly done. And I know that there was some discussion about an actual number of years. The general meeting of the EPAP did not come to consensus on doing that. What they said was, we can't give a time frame, we're not comfortable doing that, so there was no consensus on giving any sort of year. That, you know, whatever the year was proposed. We had three different proposals, so we went with no. What we did do, though, was agree that there are some specific measurable outcomes in terms of our work, which we all do together, that would be significant enough that we would consider the plan mostly complete. And that would be things like the per capita housing investment meets or exceeds the city's per capita housing investments. 25% of East Portland residents would work in East Portland and receive family wage living jobs. Gateway Education Economic Development Center or an equivalent facility in partnership with East Portland Public Schools would be established to provide living wage industry skills for East Portland students and residents. East Portland's high school graduation rate is at least equal to or of the city's high school graduation rate. The aggregate graduation rate in East Portland schools is 80%, and students of all ethnic, racial, first language demographics graduate at equal rates. I think this is very significant. East Portland in Motion is fully implemented, except for the undefined Foster Flip elevated roadway. This includes the Outer Powell Boulevard conceptual plan, Sandy Boulevard project. Transit options are improved, and includes the establishment of additional north-south transit lines and connectors to jobs on the Columbia Corridor, which we are working with Corky Collier to see if we can get more traction on that. All collector and arterial streets are ADA compliant, with sidewalks on both sides and marked crosswalks at least a quarter of a mile. All roadway facilities meet the city's Port of Portland standards. The identified most dangerous intersections in Portland are not in East Portland 3 years in a row. We'd like to spread the wealth on that one. 80% of East Portland's population is within walking distance of a park, which we are not now, or at least a natural area. And East Portland maintains or exceeds the diverse demographics identified in the U.S. Census 2005-2009 American Community Survey, while achieving the above measurements equally for each demographic community. And we have lots of ethnic variety, and we'd really want all of them to be part of the greater Portland good living. Thank you.
Thank you.
Arlene, can I just ask you one question?
Uh-huh.
Because your presentation is about measurable outcomes. So I don't want to miss an opportunity to ask you, do you believe through our budget process that we are doing a good enough job reporting back to you measurable outcomes in East Portland, and if not, what would you like to see us do different at budget time?
I think the budget outcomes are incomplete. dollars spent or are often just aggregate dollars. They don't look at specific instances. And for our, some of our, like our school districts, safe routes to school is an issue. We don't reach the population of our business that don't speak English for the most part, and basically cater to, let's say, the Latino, and we don't have any way of measuring that. So it isn't just aggregate dollars. It's how those dollars are distributed.
And what's your view about the utility of budget mapping?
The budget mapping is helpful because we can actually look at, because they're tied to specific projects. And I think that budget mapping is an important tool that can be enhanced and help us better decide where we need to push our focus at any given year. Does that help you?
It does. Thank you.
Welcome, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. Sam Breyer, Superintendent of Centennial School District. Thank you for a few moments to talk about East Portland Action Plan. And I was asked to address how it benefits the school district, but I think the real relevant question here is how it helps us benefit the community. And so I want to address that at a big picture level and then a more specific level as well. So we serve Outer East Portland, and in partnership, of course, with Park Rose, David Douglas, and portions of the Rental School District, we cover the area of East Portland. As you're aware, our community has undergone a fairly rapid transition in the last 10 to 15 years, and that's often discussed in a deficit mode or focus on the challenges that we face. And as a superintendent of a school district, and I know my colleagues would agree, we really view this as an opportunity. This is an incredible community here, and we have a chance to partner with our existing residents, with our new residents, our long-term residents, our local government, and our school districts to really build a community to provide some voice, some supports, put down roots, and stop the historic transition that has caused so many problems in our community. As a school district, East Portland Action Plan provides an excellent venue for that, to provide some targets with for the school districts to reach, but also a direct connection to a grassroots, democratic, active organization that is specific to the communities we serve. As school districts, we're always working to build those back and forth conversations, and we do that with more or less success. And so an organization like EPAP that does it with so much success and provides us an easy access point into those conversations is truly a benefit to the school district, but also helps us serve and respond to the needs of the community. And that's a really important big picture piece. It was also mentioned earlier that it serves an important convening role. And one of those convenings is the East Portland Action Plan Education Subcommittee, which I've had the pleasure of serving on for the last 3 years. And that committee provides an excellent venue for community activists, community partners, and school districts to sit together, work, and respond to the needs identified in the action plan and the community as a whole. And some of the specific accomplishments of that group are an increase in improvement in the SUN programming and spreading that across more schools in the East County. In Centennial, 70% of our schools are now SUN schools, and I know in David Douglas, I believe it's 100% this year. And that's largely due both to an effective partnership, of course, with the city and county, but also with the education subcommittee work. We also have built really strong partnerships in early childhood education through this committee, and you'll hear largely about that in David Douglas, where they have a very successful center, but it has also benefited schools throughout East Portland. There is, we've prioritized, as we heard about safe route to schools, transportation safety is a huge issue in East Portland. Making sure our students get to and from schools is something we're constantly working on. We've had some impacts through this group, and we'll continue to work on that. Advocacy for regional affordable housing supply. What we want to do, again, is root families in our schools so we can serve and elevate the community together, and that is a really important piece. Strong partnerships with the county library program that have both allowed our community to better utilize the library and also allowed the library to provide service within our schools. A direct benefit that is actually a benefit to the school district that was a big win for us is establishment of policies that let us know when building is happening, particularly large developments. We were growing so rapidly and so haphazardly that in many places it was leading to overcrowding in schools that we simply didn't know were coming and would lead to overcrowded or under-resourced schools. And so that's a tangible action that has really helped us with our long-range planning. Again, we better connect and communicate with our community. One piece of evidence of that is we've been able, through the subcommittee, to distribute literature around our school-based health programs in 9 languages instead of the normal 2 or 3 school districts are able to provide. Again, better and stronger connection with community. And now the group has moved on to address the biggest challenge we face in our relationship, and that's how we address parent involvement in K-12 schools, both how we make that more effective for parents and how schools can better provide and support what's happening with our students both in the school day and outside the school day. And those are tangible actions that are taking place, and the last one is a really exciting move that we are in the middle of right now. So thank you again for a few moments to share all the benefits I see of East Portland Action Plan in the school partnership.
Thank you. So now for the City Bureau perspective, Mark Lear.
My name is Mark Lear, Portland Bureau of Transportation. And for most of the time that I served on the Technical Advisory Committee for EPAP, I was the traffic safety manager for the City of Portland. So obviously the work and the help that we were getting from EPAP on traffic safety issues was really valuable. I can say in my 18 years with the City of Portland that I'm not sure I've ever had a group that added as much value to the work that I was personally doing or my groups were doing as EPAP has. It's, from my perspective, the value of the group, it's really helped us understand the issues that people are dealing with, the priorities, getting a shared sense of what goals and what projects we actually want to deliver on, and the amount of staff support that we've gotten from people like Arlene, Dave Hamston, Laura, and others has been amazing. I mean, I feel bad a little bit from sometimes the agency's ability to sort of keep up, but what they've been able to do and the ability to improve on our community outreach has been really positive. Just to highlight a couple of those projects, the East Portland in Motion project really came after EPAP was kicked off, and with that framework, I mean, we could have done East Portland in Motion, but we couldn't have done it anywhere to the level and quality that we did without the help of EPAP, so that was super positive. We've gotten regional funding. There was an example of the Regional Economic Opportunity Fund that I'm really pretty certain that Portland and East Portland specifically probably wouldn't have gotten an allocation absent all that grassroots work and helping us define the problem. So there's, you know, $8 or $9 million of additional resources that came from the region as a result of that conversation. And just, you know, all the work that we do, whether it's talking about new funding like Portland's the Street Fund or other conversations, just having EPAP as a place that you can go meet with, you know, 60 or 80 people, as a diverse a group as you're going to meet, from my experience, in any public sort of setting, is just really a valuable thing. I think we've heard that from TriMet, ODOT, PBOT, Police, ONI, PDC, and Multnomah County. When we're having these, I think we meet now once a quarter, when we have these meetings, it's everything from what's happening with the big plans to what, you know, we were just talking about, a new housing project near a school that's going to create some, you know, problems next month sort of thing that we're addressing. So it's just been really valuable. I think that's the general sense of the people that have served on the Technical Advisory Committee. So thanks for the opportunity to provide that feedback.
Thank you. Questions for any of these folks? Thanks for working together. Thank you. Okay, so, want to get...
Sure, absolutely.
So you're going to go through recommendations, Paul?
Yes.
Or so, with your partners here?
So just quickly here... So one of the main questions you asked of, you know, is this one-time funding, is it going to be done in a year, or is this something that should be shifted to ongoing, as the mayor described? And definitely the work, there's a lot of work left to be done and a lot of great value that EPAP is still providing. So the recommendation is that it shift to ongoing and that the project be continued to be funded. One of the things that you could really help with is helping make sure that all of your bureaus are actually prioritizing and aware of and prioritizing the EPAP implementation items. I think getting your leadership on that would be very helpful. It would also be helpful just to have a one-time assessment that digs a little deeper than ONI and the EPAP group were able to this time around, but to really look at which items are completed, what remains to be done, how far along are they, get a better definition of what completion looks like for each item, and identifying what sort of steps may need to happen to lead to that completion strategically, and identifying any action items that either that may not be needed anymore, that the community and the city and other partners agree those are things that we don't need anymore, so we don't just have everything on the list forever. Also identifying once that assessment is done, it would be helpful to have some sort of mechanism within city government that all of our bureaus are reporting on some sort of regular basis on how we're doing, that somebody creates a framework for that and sort of prods us along and gathers that information so you can have it and the community can have it as well.
Does EPAP have a recommendation on what that entity should be?
I don't think that... Where's Laura? Laura, did you guys...
When the draft originally came to us, there was a proposal that it either be through the auditor's office because they had done the recent audit, or OMF.
And when did the draft come to you?
That was the first draft of this coming from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the great work that Paul has done on this. And that was not included, and I think with input from other reviewers of the draft.
So why don't you have a seat, because I'm going to ask you some more questions. And thank you. This is Laura Wintergreen, for the record, who's our coordinator for the East Portland Action Plan. Was there any consideration given to having the city budget office be the entity that would be doing the assessment and reporting?
Actually, we talked about correlating it with the geographic mapping. So certainly it was a matter of if you're doing the geographic mapping, and I believe it was Commissioner Fish saying earlier, you know, is that a value, and then how might that value be enhanced? And we had thought that might be a good locale if people are putting in their submitting their budgets annually to do a tracking of the action plan.
And what was the discussion around who in the Office of Management and Finance, which bureau within the Office of Management and Finance might be responsible for the annual report?
There wasn't any further discussion because it was chosen not to proceed in the draft. So we moved forward with the document as it was submitted.
Thank you.
I think the document really focuses on that it would be helpful to have somebody do it, and it's part of, you know, the next step is if you think that's a good idea, would be then figuring out who would do that.
I was curious, actually, on page 3, it lays out a number. It says the entity responsible for tracking should have some level of citywide stature that allow it to engage bureaus across city government. Some entities that might be able to play this role include Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, OMF, Mayor's Office, the City Auditor, and OEHR. What about ONI itself? Is there a consideration given to that?
We're so modest that we did not add ourselves to that list.
Well, and I was just interested as to why the City Budget Office wasn't listed there, because they are the coordinators and the ones that report to all 5 of the council.
Yes, and I think that in the conversations recently with the mayor's staff, that did come up, that they would also be somebody who would be a good choice.
So you wouldn't be averse to that being the locality?
I don't believe so. I don't think that there would be any opposition through EPAP members.
Thank you.
Another question is, do you have some sense of what the cost would be of doing this kind of tracking in terms of dollars or personnel and how that should be paid for?
We also did not take a look at that. We didn't have the sort of the time and capacity to do that. If that's something you guys think is important, that may be something that the budget office could take a look at, you know, defining a clearer scope of what that would mean and then being able on that basis to develop cost estimates.
And I had made a recommendation that perhaps discussing between the geographic mapping cost and the work that the auditor's office recently did, looking at the action plan, being able to take input from that process.
And that's a one-time project, right?
Exactly.
It's just a where are we now, looking at my, I think, 25 things in parks and 7 things in development services, how many of those are done. So that would be maybe an outside contract you're envisioning?
Well, and I think one of the recommendations was an outside contractor or again, providing some funding to a city bureau to staff up to do that. Or there'd been talk of trying to do it with a bureau with assistance, again, from another or Oregon Fellow or some other approach like that.
Yeah, an Oregon Fellow, this seems like a really good project for somebody to do that.
Especially somebody good like Julia was. She was wonderful.
Yes, I'm glad that worked out well for you.
Okay, other questions?
I have
Paul's gone. I think going to go on further into recommendations or...
No, we got to the end there. Okay, so it was one-time assessment, sort of ongoing tracking and reporting so we all know what's happening. And then, again, just emphasizing for you that EPAP and East Portland Neighborhood Office play very different roles, and that you keep that in your mind.
Right.
That's it.
Okay. Commissioner
Comment Frisch. And I guess a question. The comment is I used to meet fairly regularly with EPAP to talk about parks and housing. Now I have a slightly different portfolio. And I want to just give you a preview of some things next year where I need your help. One of them is we're going to take another run at discounts, how we can fashion a discount program in a multifamily context. Right now, our water and sewer discounts for low-income users are pegged to mostly to homeowners because there's a single meter. The challenge has always been, how do you apply a discount where it's a building with lots of units but a single meter, and you can't, you don't know with precision what each individual's usage is, and since the discount is pegged to usage, it creates a complication. So starting in January, we're going to take another run at that, and obviously this has a significant impact on East Portland, not just low-income families but also older adults. I want to preview that as something we're going to need help on. Number two is we will be heating up the discussion around surplus property. And we've got some property post-Big Pipe that we got to get rid of. And we've got some other properties in both the water and Bureau and BES. And my guess is if we had the list here, we'd be able to identify properties in East Portland. And there's questions about what do you do with that property, what's the public interest, and under our new guidelines, are there other bureaus that might want to crack at those properties before they go out in the open market? But the third thing is, are we talking currently, Mayor? I'm sorry, I had to step out for a call. Are we talking about the question of funding going forward? Or are we
potentially moving it to ongoing, given the given the fact that we do have obviously a lot of these plan provisions that are going to take a long time to realize, and where there's maybe progress more or less, but no expectation that we're going to be done in a few years.
But the mayor has signaled, and the Independent Budget Office has signaled, that we are likely to have a chunk of one-time money, and we may have less in the ongoing, in the budget going forward. And in terms of budget sustainability, we've been cautioned about serial one-time spending. At some point, either you make the decision and put something in the budget, but you don't treat an ongoing project as just getting one-time funding. So one of the things that I'd be interested in exploring in the budget is, if necessary, a one-year bridge to a sustainable funding plan. So if the only dollars are available, I'm willing to violate the rule, I think is the better rule, which is the ongoing, when you can get it. If there's no ongoing, I'd at least be open to a one-year bridge, and then a concrete plan as to how we can put EPAP in the budget. And that's I think, a good conversation for the council to have, and then be very specific about what are the kinds of conditions. You know, what are our expectations? What are your expectations? And be very focused on that. But that I think, is and I had a chance briefly to discuss this with Commissioner Fritz, and I'm totally flexible in how we get there, but I would like to see less of the perils of Pauline and more of sort of long-term secure funding, because I think the work you do is irreplaceable. And even though I think there's always room for improvement on both sides, if we didn't have an EPAP, and I've had the good fortune of working with EPAP since we launched in 2009, so it's almost been coterminous with my service, I've seen enormous benefits. And as we've talked about in the past, one of those benefits is I've seen a completely different tenor to the conversation between East Portland neighborhoods and City Hall. And it's gone from one of maybe heavier on the frustration side to heavier on partnership and relationships. And look no further than the fact that Commissioner Fritz in the last year and a half has been able to make a significant down payment on something we've been talking about for a long time, which is East Portland Parks Equity. And she said she was going to take those resources and invest them. And while she wasn't prescient in terms of how much of a bull market we were going to have in the development side, we've never seen so much money come in the door. And she's made sure it goes and is prioritized in East Portland. I don't think it would have happened with the same sense of urgency had that not been a priority that you framed in the plan and you held us accountable to. And the final thing I just wanted to observe for Sam is, Mr. Superintendent, is the last time I was at a elementary school in Centennial, and I won't bore you with the details, but it was meeting with some kids in a Sun school, and it ended up being like a model UN gathering. What struck me was Many of the kids had as many as three languages under their belt, three and two languages. And Mayor, you know, we have kids that have a second language. I wish I had a second language. That was the shortcoming in my education. It also means I can't understand my family when they talk in Spanish. There were kids at the table that had three languages. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, sometimes we say, oh, what a burden it is for a school district to have to accommodate 45 or 50 languages. And then I thought, what a gift that we have people of that age who are already fluent in multiple cultures. Mm-hmm. And why isn't that part of our great advantage as a community? You know, why isn't that an advantage that they can speak multiple languages, have understandings? Some of the kids had come from refugee camps in places you can hardly find on a map. Others had had tough roads, but they had language and culture experience. It seems to me in this new mark, in this new global economy, it's one of our great advantages. And I will be looking to you, sir. The mayor's economic development plan report we got the other day said workforce development and connecting our talent with the next round of jobs is a priority and is a key. And you've got one of the great resources in your own backyard. How do we connect them to jobs that are good paying and that provide opportunity? So I was very inspired.
I would just like to add, of the measurable outcomes, Arlene said, the EPAP answers that, how you do that. There's been a strong recommendation for the Gateway Education Economic Development Center that all the school districts have come together to say would be a center with Mount Hood to do that, to corral that, and to see that the people in East Portland get that focus.
I concur with Commissioner Fisher's framing of the change dynamic between people in East Portland and advocacy in East Portland and City Council, as evidenced by the fact that I don't think we have any reporters here today. So if they thought it was going to be controversial, they would have been here. It's really
or bad news. Yeah, either
yeah.
way.
Wait a second. Is Joanne Hardesty there? I see. Okay.
I'm here in support.
So that's a testament to your advocacy. And as Commissioner Fish said, one of the reasons that I was so passionate about allocating the majority of new system development charge money in East Portland is because of your advocacy. It's your success. It's due to you. So I want to be very clear to you that one way or another, I am committed to continuing funding the East Portland Action Plan, and I believe I have the consensus of the council on that. So as we figure out how to do that, as Commissioner Fish said, it may be one more year of one-time funding and perhaps a budget note to say that then after that, perhaps the one-time funding could coincide with while we're doing this assessment, and then you could bring the assessment to us sometime in the summer or fall of next year. And at that point, we could do something to make sure that, you know, the only thing I'm hesitant about that is there's a lot of value in you coming in every year. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I know that you will come in for the annual report, that it won't be something that will just fade into the sunset and be good people doing good things, but nobody ever knows about it. So if it weren't for that, I'd say let's keep it in one-time funding because then you'd have to keep doing your advocacy stuff. But you're beyond that. You are seasoned advocates at this point. You are accomplished. And so we, I believe, need to get the funding, the structure, the support figured out so that you don't have to keep worrying about that. You can keep doing the work that you're doing. I so appreciate being able to contact Laura and Arlene and others when I have committee openings, which coincidentally I do have some more committee openings, so that we get your voices on our commissions, on our boards, on our advisory groups, and make sure that you're heard. As a matter of fact, I do. Thank you for mentioning that, Commissioner Fish. So just today, we are posting the application to be on the Community Oversight Advisory Board for the Department of Justice Settlement Implementation. And we need good people who can volunteer significant hours a month, for sure, but people who are willing to be the eyes and the ears and the voices of the community as we try to partner with the Department of Justice and the Police Bureau in making sure that our streets and our homes and our backyards are safe for everybody. And so could you please go to my website and look about that if you're not able to commit that amount of time yourself or if you're not particularly, if that's not your area of advocacy, go home and call somebody who you think might be able to do it. Because we've got a very short timeline for filling those positions. January 9th is the application deadline, and that's not our choice. We know that we need more time to get the word out, the Department of Justice is holding our feet to the fire. So I know that you can help us, and that even over the holidays, people in East Portland will stay up at night and fill out those forms or fill out the online application. And please reach out to folks and help us get representation, because the Department of Justice specifically mentioned East Portland. East Portland residents and the different communities in East Portland as people who need to be involved in this going forward. We didn't suggest it. They required it. And so thank you for the participation so far, and please get that message out for me and for all of us.
Great. Other questions or comments to the team?
Just a couple of comments. One is, I think that, Arlene, your list of the purpose of EPAP advocacy will be achieved when, that's a phenomenal list. It's very aspirational, but it's also very concrete. There's nothing vague about it. So I really, really appreciate having that, and that we should strive to achieve it. I also have to say that having the Bureau of Transportation, I mean, I benefit every day from the work of EPAP and the people involved in East Portland Motion, because it's not a matter of us saying, yes, we know there's a lot of transportation issues in East Portland that need to be dealt with. It's a matter of saying there's a lot of transportation issues, and they've been identified and prioritized by the community, and these are things that we know need to be done in this order, and that's just incredibly valuable to have. And we could not have a coherent conversation about the safety element of the street fund proposal without that work. So thank you.
Well, thank you all. It's been a great presentation. We appreciate it very much, and the work of all the leaders in the room. I know we're going to hear from some of them individually as well. So thank you. So I think we probably have some folks either who are here on an official or unofficial basis from EPAP that would like to add to this presentation. So, Carla, would you call on folks as you have them?
We have 18 people signed up. And the first three, please come on up, are Bob Ernst, Tom Lewis, and Jeremy O'Leary.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Furniture. Doing it again? All right. We have technical difficulties with our PA system. Go ahead, please. Whoever's going to go first, Bob.
Good afternoon. My name is Bob Ernest. I live on Northeast 107th Place. I live on the western side of the, or the western end of the East Portland Action Plan area. I am a founding member of EPAP and have been involved in the group since December of 2007. I serve as the Structures Committee Chair. Part of the Structures Committee, we developed the idea of having a consensus-based organization. I've also served on other committees, and most recently, I was selected to be on the Gateway Park Citizens Advisory Committee. I'm talking to you today as an area resident. I'm not representing EPAP again. This is because we operate on a consensus model, and we did not reach consensus on some of the items that I wanted to mention today. These are my comments and observations. I support EPAP and the goals. When we moved to our current residence in 1996, I became involved in the Gateway Urban Renewal Citizens Advisory Committee. I served in various leadership roles, including chair, co-chair, and vice chair. When we had community meetings in the late 1990s, the topic of sewers and stormwater runoff dominated many of our meetings. Annexation issues ran a close second on the public agenda. These topics no longer dominate our public meetings. So we've made some major progress in communicating with residents and sort of leveling that playing field. EPAP was formed in December of 2007, and the council approved the plan in February 2009. There's one paid staff and hundreds of volunteers who carry the EPAP forward. So it's a major volunteer organization, and there's a tremendous value for the investment from the city funding. EPAP has brought a focused approach to leverage city services and partner with the community. EPAP is working on safe routes to schools, bringing parks to a park-deficient area, and community building efforts, in addition to a variety of other actions and strategies to engage residents. The community has organized and has involved both new residents and longtime residents to improve our neighborhoods. The work of EPAP is not done. I believe we need at least another 7 to 10 years to accomplish at least 90% of our strategies and actions. We've made significant progress, and I urge your support to continue the good work into the future. EPAP has brought an awareness of East Portland to the city as a whole and recognized that we are a contributing area adding to the quality of life in Portland. Please continue funding for at least the next 7 to 10 years so EPAP can get the work done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. I'm Tom Lewis with Centennial Community Association. I work with the Operations Committee at EPAP and helping move those priorities for each year ahead be advocated for. And I wanted to appreciate that lights are on to the way EPAP is structured and the work being done, and I appreciate that very much. I wanted to just have a couple hits on my community being the neighbor to Gresham and the line going out to 174th East, Portland, in that direction, and wanting to feel that and have some hope as the city has recognized the needs out my way, even though they haven't reached me yet in some fashion, that there is hope alive. And we could use our named Park Lane Park in the East Portland Action Plan developed. We could use a community center either there or with partnerships such as Rosewood Initiative that has struggles paying their bills and having doors open for us to have a meeting place at and hash over community concerns. And that will make good neighbors to Gresham and the interests that cross the boundaries, take down the boundaries between Portland and Gresham with advocacy with Multnomah County, Metro, and other government entities that will help us make that a consistent, meaningful, livable neighborhoods for both City of Portland and Gresham being one community. And I thank you for your patience.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Jeremy O'Leary. I'm the co-chair of East Portland Action Plan and have been a longtime policy geek. And my motivations for my work with EPAP are based on my involvement with the Peak Oil Task Force, the Climate Action Plan, the Multnomah Food Initiative, and many others. And basically, as we're facing all the challenges from the ongoing economic shifts and energy issues, and how do we adapt to a low-carbon future, which we don't really entirely know how to do, there's going to be the pressure points on the community. And those pressure points can take the form of just rent prices or from actual natural disasters. And this is where the basic community organizing that EPAP does is critical, from everything from emergency preparedness to long-term recovery, which is something that I'm talking with the various bureaus about. How do we achieve this? And I've been working with Oregon VOAD about how can EPAP fit into a long-term recovery organization effort. And yeah, it's just definitely here to show my support, and hopefully we can figure out something going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks all of you. Appreciate your leadership.
Thank you.
Next.
Next three are Anna Volkova, Galina Narasa, and Joanne Hardesty.
Welcome. I think you're on first, Anna.
Good afternoon. So as an immigrant 5 years ago, only things that I knew in East Portland were grocery stores and my workplace. I started working as a workforce specialist for Human Solutions many years ago. And you know that Human Solutions is located in East Portland. And I'm glad that EPAP started working 5 years ago. Thanks to East Portland Action Plan work and regular events, I learned more about City of Portland bureaus and their operations. I learned that my voice and the voice of my community can be heard and can impact me, my community, my neighborhoods in a positive way. I see that community involvement, especially for my community, is rising. But on not only this, EPAP members keep accountable city bureaus and state entities. This is phenomenal, and this is something that I've never seen, not only me, I'm an immigrant, but all of those people that I'm talking to. It did not take 1 year, of course. It took more. People just started to believe in their own ability to influence change. It could not be interrupted. And I and my community members want to see all of those EPAP items accomplished, or at least to be at about that stage. I'm very happy to be part of EPAP subcommittees and see positive change happening. For me personally, and for many of my friends and community members, projects like 136th Avenue improvements, working with Multnomah County to have school-based health clinic brochures distributed to all students in 9 languages, have a power to define the application for civic engagement language and culturally specific grant funds, and see how effectively educational subcommittee work with schools and impact many aspects like parenting involvement that needed improvements, and many others. It's just I don't have enough time to list all of those projects that were advocated for, accomplished successfully because of EPAP advocacy. Again, they were very important for me personally and my community members, and they happened, which is the most important thing. What I wanted to say again that, not say, but maybe propose that I see how hard Laura Wintergreen is working, so it would be nice to have a paid full-time person who could help Laura in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Galina, you're next.
Hi. My name is Galina Nekrasova. I am president of Slavic Immigrants Association. And I work with all Slavic immigrants of east of Portland. And I am a member of EPAP, and I am a member of educational of subcommittee. EPAP is always the most important for us. It is outdoor life center for us. And EPAP, anytime, office is open, 10 a.m. open, 10 p.m. still open, and Laura is still in that office. And Laura is discussion, then she finished, she started to work with us and help for us and answer each question. And EPAP for us, it is good school of our new life. It is good supporter. And EPAP is good teacher for us. I am studying all the time. When I come in every month for meeting EPAP, probably did you see it last time when you were at that meeting? 65 people is sitting, and they know what they're talking. They know each street. They know each house of their street. They know problems for each person. And Laura is listening. Laura is a big motor of that EPAP big committee. And we are looking, listening, Laura, and we are doing all of our plans. And we are so happy. I don't know how me, myself, and how my community will be without EPAP to organize Slavic culture festivals. Or now, 3 years, we have a Russian language school. It is EPAP help for us, and I don't know how it will be. This is why I myself support to full funding, EPUB, and my community is supporting too.
Thank you.
We are very appreciated for EPUB. It is good help for us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your help. Ms. Hardesty, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It seems like just yesterday I was here. The day before that. I want to, and Commissioner Fish took my thunder. I was going to say, shockingly, hopefully you will take a picture that I am here in support of something that the City Council and the Mayor have been supportive of, and that is the EPAP organization. I want you to know that this is a model of how governments –